From Indian Mounds Wilderness to Davis Mountains State Park and South Padre Island to the Golden Spread. When Texans learn what's happening, it's From Pratt on Texas. Get ready. Here comes Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis. Without a donor or management-controlled muzzle or leash on this St. Patrick's Day in the year of our Lord, 2023, it's a saint's day, honoring a saint for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not a day to go get drunk, but to some people that won't matter. Our Lone Star story of the day, DEI, this diversity, equity, and inclusion BS from the left, the ban on that in Texas colleges finds its way into a clever way, into a budget rider. And we've got much, much other legislative news to get to. Our look at our Lone Star story of the day, which is a compilation of the legislative review, is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. You truckers, you need to get your random drug testing program lined up. Allied Compliance Services will do all that for you. You'll be a valued client, and they'll be on call to help you. Reach them at alliedcompliance.com. Border news. I wonder how long the U.S. Border Patrol chief will have his job after specifically contradicting Mayorkas, the Homeland Security chief, by admitting that we do not have operational control of our border. That and more in the border and immigration news stack. Friends, you can listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and other interviews at prattontexas.com. I'm a little tired. I started, had to start very early this morning, really before the voice works well, for an in-depth kind of special interview on some Texas political issues, particularly the property tax reform, and that'll be a podcast extra that'll be up early next week, my friends. So been at it all day, my friends, but that's the thing. It's not just the show every day. We put up special other long-form interviews at prattontexas.com on our podcast page, and we're on all the major podcast platforms. You can go get it there. As always, it is a great day to be a Texan, my friends. Today in Texas history, the first law school was established at Austin College in 1855. And in 1884, Frank Bring a Back Alive Buck was born in Gainesville. He traveled the world trapping and transporting exotic animals to zoos and circuses. He wrote at least 7 books and produced several motion pictures about animals and his adventures. Look him up. Frank Big Bring a Back Alive Buck. Now, we're in Texas Revolution season, Texas Independence season. It was this date, 17th of March, 1836, that the convention of 1836 adjourned in haste as the Mexican army approached Washington on the Brazos. The convention, which met on March 1st, drafted the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the Republic of Texas, organized the ad interim government, named Sam Houston commander-in-chief of the Republic's military forces before the delegates evacuated Washington on the Brazos. Their hurried departure was part of the so-called runaway scrape in which Texans fled the advancing troops of Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna. Richmond was evacuated about April 1st, and Houston's subsequent retreat towards the Sabine left all of the settlements between the Colorado and the Brazos unprotected. Settlers in that area at once began making their way toward Louisiana or Galveston Island. The section of East Texas around Nacogdoches and San Augustine was abandoned a little prior to April 13th. The flat was marked by a lack of preparation and panic caused by both fear of the Mexican army and of Indians. And, of course, that flight continued until the news of victory at San Jacinto on the 21st got to everyone. This is the day they had to break up in a hurry and leave because these men knew what they were doing. It's just like the American Revolution. They knew that they would be killed instantly. They would be executed. And Santa Anna had made that known if they were caught. The late, great musician Freddie Fender, we play some of his stuff on the show, of course, is honored, going to be honored next month with the Texas State Historical Marker at his birthplace in San Benito. That's cool. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, employment background checks, security surveillance, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. All right, my friends, I've been asking who, if anyone, in Lubbock County elected office has been protecting the seedy game rooms that are just everywhere? Who, if anyone? I don't know if they're on the take or not, but who, if anyone's on the take? Well, there's more to this story. One Lubbock County elected official who has been in office for some time now, a top official, is telling people, going around town telling people, I'm led to understand, that Commissioner Corley, the one trying to get in place the just reasonable, sensible regulation of these game rooms in place that the state has allowed us to do. And by the way, Corley's really pure on this. You know, Ector County, I've told you, lots of counties fought these back and have fixed this problem years ago when the legislature gave them the tools. Ector County apparently is making, they're taxing it. In other words, they're making a fee on these things and making it a big revenue stream. And it's a big one. Apparently it's produced a lot of money down at Odessa way. And I like what Commissioner Corley has said about it. He said, look, we don't want to do that because if we make it a revenue stream, then the government wants more of it and the officials want more of it. And we don't really want more of it. He's right. So he's dropped that part. He never brought that forward. He wants the regulation of these places. So a big time Lubbock elected official is going around apparently telling people that Corley's only pushing this ordinance to help a friend because he's got a friend that owns a game room and there's another guy they don't like and he wants to give a leg up to his friend and punish the friend's competitor. Well, a lot of lazy people, which is most people, would think, oh, well, the big time guy there, he told me that. That's got to be true. Here's the problem. If you're too lazy to look at the ordinance, it's a slur against the commissioner, and it tells us a lot. It starts going towards answering that question, who's been protecting the city game rooms? Who might even be on the take? Because I will tell you, historically, that particular office held by that person has had ties like that years and years ago that I've referenced earlier. Look, the problem with this slur is the ordinance doesn't give any preference to any operator. And even though it limits the operations number as they go out of business, it grandfathers everybody in. It's just really there's nothing in the ordinance that allows the commissioners or anybody else to give one person preference over another. If they come and file for the permit and all that, they're in place even if their place doesn't fit the new ordinance. In other words, they get grandfathered in. So that just tells you what a bold-faced lie this is coming from this so-called esteemed Lubbock County elected official who I don't think is so esteemed. But just remember, the fact that a major county office holder is running an innuendo campaign to sully the commissioner pushing for this needed reform begins to point the arrow towards the answer to what county official has been protecting the city game rooms for years and years and years. Think about it. What would be the point otherwise? Why be so vociferous against this? It's interesting. The whole thing is interesting, and it's rather uncomfortable because it points to some things we would like to not believe exist in our communities. All right, my friends, the third court of appeals, big breaking news today, court rescinds winter storm emergency pricing order that cost Texans billions. Philip Jankowski at the Dallas Morning News, a developing story. A ruling released today, the Austin-based third court of appeals ruled the Public Utility Commission exceeded its authority in a directive that set the price of electricity at its cap amid the winter storm. I'm not sure I buy into this. And the suit was brought by some of the power people and everything. The court didn't make a judgment on how its order would affect pricing, but said it would hold further hearings. I would just say this. It's not really that big a news yet because it's out of the Austin area Third Court of Appeals, which has become a liberal Democrat activist court. So whatever comes out of this court, it's going to end up going to the Texas Supreme Court, and that's what's going to matter. Texas Supreme Court denies challenge to proposed city charter amendment on police reforms, reports the San Antonio Report. Well, they're blatantly violating the law. They've rolled all these, a bunch of lefty stuff by petition into one charter amendment. The law says you can't do that. The Supreme Court said, basically, you can challenge after the election. Back in a moment on Pride on Texas.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Pride on Texas will be right back after this.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
My entire trip, hotels, food, transport, and fun for both Isabel and me to Dental Care's Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica cost us less than half my lowest dental work quote at home. I'm not alone in learning how much of a do-not-miss opportunity this is. A farmer from Crosby County had dental work needs that would have cost $25,000 here. He went to Dr. Zuniga at Dental Care, a cosmetic dental specialist, by the way, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under 10 grand. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. Costa Rica is one of the hottest tourist destinations in the world. It's very safe, very easy to get around in, and not expensive to fly to from Texas, including on Southwest. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
The Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas brings you news and commentary of the Lone Star State without all the wasted time and staff chit-chat. Now, here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. The National Weather Service has confirmed some of the damage yesterday and all the severe thunderstorms in the Metroplex, that in Irving, it was the lowest category tornado, an EF1 tornado, went through there, did a lot of damage, and there was some flooding, and there was other damage, but that part in Irving does appear to be confirmed as a tornado from the National Weather Service. Lawyers seek removal of judge in Santa Fe, Texas school shooting case. The lawyers for this kid that was 17 at the time when he went in there and shot everybody up, and these charges, he's in the state hospital, the criminal deal in Vernon, I think, since December of 2019. He was determined to be incompetent to stand trial. Well, his lawyers are screaming that the judge, District Judge Jeff Jones, is just trying to get somebody to certify him for trial, even if he's not. Well, that's what they do, too. The report in the AP says that the judge ordered that guy be held at the hospital for another year, but last week he had a last-minute hearing in which he ordered the shooter, they keep giving him the infamy that these kids want by putting the name in there, AP. Can't you learn anything? You're the ones that love to lecture everybody else about the language we use. They got his name all through this piece. The shooter, the alleged shooter, to be evaluated by an outside expert to determine his competency. So the defense lawyers are going to, they want the judge removed because isn't that what they do too? Constantly try to get their own people to keep him as incompetent so he doesn't have to face capital murder charges. Trial scheduled later this month for teens accused of planning a school shooting at Donna High School. Valley Central tells us that 18-year-old Barbarito Pantoja and Nathaniel Seth Montelongo, also 18, are facing charges of conspiracy to commit capital murder of multiple persons. They've set the trial for sometime next week. Back in 2022, they got an anonymous tip. Two men were going to do a school shooting at Donna High School. In an interview with cops, Montelongo said he, along with Pantoja and a juvenile, planned to enter the school on the last day of school and shoot multiple people. Pantoja was detained, interviewed, and according to that document, he implicated himself and provided a detailed explanation about his role in it. And then they searched the place, found documents pertaining to the planning of it. So these three, there's this other juvenile, we don't know who it is, involved in this. Democrat death cult. New Mexico governor signs bill overriding local abortion bans to make sure that they can continue to murder as many babies as possible and turn that into big tourism industry in New Mexico because they're doing the devil, and I truly mean Satan's work. An additional bill working its way through that crazy legislature in the roundhouse, which makes a much better art gallery than it does a legislature. Or building housing, a legislature bill would protect abortion providers and patients from out-of-state interference, prosecution, or extradition attempts. Well, if states have the ability to reach far to do that, then they won't have the, you know, if it's, it, that's a self-defeating argument unless they just stay in New Mexico and never return back, because you can't have it both ways where you can't. Well, it's a jurisdictional issue. Paxton secured a big victory to shut down some robocallers that made billions of illegal calls. This is John Caldwell Spiller II and his business partner, Jacob Mears, based in, they had a whole bunch of companies based in Texas, and they were calling everybody, even people on the Do Not Call registry, billions of calls. They've been banned from any kind of work related to any of this, and judgments of over $244 million against them. There was a small plane crash, a Beach Baron 58, apparently near Lubbock Executive Airpark this afternoon. And one witness that KCBD had on the air live, Freddie, said that it appeared to hit utility wires and spun around and went straight in the ground. He said there's nothing left of the plane, but that's not true because other media photographs showed most of the fuselage intact. And that's a Beach Baron twin engine. Started 1969, those were, the 58 was, produced all the way through 2004. That was near Lubbock Executive Airport. All right, my friends. Oh, I'm going to move on. I've got so much to get to. Let's move on to our border news stack, then we'll get to our legislative review. I ask at the top of the show today, I wonder how long the U.S. Border Patrol chief will have his job. Big story out yesterday, American Wire had it, everybody had it. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz undercut his boss during stunning congressional testimony, contradicting embattled Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, the liar, by telling lawmakers he was under oath. The federal government does not have operational control, quote-unquote, of the nation's southern border. He appeared before the House Homeland Security Committee. His answers were very frank. They raised eyebrows and confirmed suspicions of many, despite Mayorkas and other Democrat Party folks saying, oh, no, this is not deteriorating there. Oh, no, everything's okay. This is all exaggerated. And he was asked by Representative Mark Green of Tennessee, who chairs the committee, whether DHS has, quote, operational control of the entire border. And he answered, no, sir. Flies right in the face of what Mayorkas has insisted. And during his opening statement, he said CBP agents who were falsely accused by Democrats in the media, including Joe Biden, of whipping Haitian immigrants in 2021, he defended his agents for that. He said that's one of the dastardly lies that had been made by the regime and toadies in the press. He didn't put it that way, but he said, as a former horse patrol agent, I can attest to how vital horse patrol units are in responding to remote and harsh locations. Last year's mass migration event in Del Rio was chaotic. We had over 20,000 people show up in one place in a short period of time. I remain proud of the work our horse patrol units and what we did in Del Rio. And of course, it's right. He said, you know, remember, Biden and the Democrats and the media said it looked like slavery and they were whipping them. They were never whipping them. They never whipped any of them. And that was eventually proven out. But they didn't care. They threw his agents under the deal. He also said on the wall that in testimony that he disagreed with the administration's halting of the border wall construction. He said, I don't believe in a wall from sea to shining sea, but I believe in infrastructure and barrier systems in concentrated areas. And he said how it's worked and all that. And he said, now, you know, it's not happening. Remember where I told you this story out of Matamoros that got all the attention of the world press, the Americans that were kidnapped, and then two of them were killed? I mean, it was a terrible thing. It deserves attention. But I told you, this stuff goes on all the time. This just happened to make it, and so the press had to pick it up. They lie to you by omission about how bad it is in Mexico. And there's a little Fox News story today, Greg Norman, American citizen kidnapped from a residence in Mexico, FBI says, and they've got she lives in Colima, the state of Colima, an older American, 63-year-old, Maria del Carmen Lopez. They're offering a reward. But in this story, there's a couple of little noted things. The notice comes after Mexican authorities last week repatriated the bodies of two Americans killed in Mexico by members of the drug cartel. That was the thing in Matamoros. Then they just add a couple of more things. Two sisters from a Texas border town and another woman also reportedly remain missing after driving to in Monte Morelos in Mexico's Nuevo León state to sell clothing at a flea market in late February. Did you hear that all over the media? No. That's my point. It's going on all the time. They don't want you to know. Migrant apprehensions along the southwest border with Mexico in February remained at about the same level as January. Biden administration's touting this as a reduction. The problem is the numbers are still 32% higher than February 2021, Joe Biden's first full month in office. So they're still coming in at a much greater rate, a full 32% higher than they were then. Former Mexican state border state, Tamaulipas, that's where we're having all this trouble, some of the worst, down Browns, Matamoros and all that. He gets 9 years in prison. He's one of two former governors of Tamaulipas indicted in Texas. So this one has gone before the judge and been sentenced to prison. He was charged with tons of stuff. He just pleaded guilty to the money laundering charges, and the other charges were dismissed. And there's thousands opposing asylum travel ban rule. The left has gotten angry over Biden's pivoting on a few things, and they're mad, and they're getting all organized about it. Border Report has those stories. I'll get to that and more in a moment on Pride on Texas.
We're talking Texas. More after this.
On the construction job site, the ranch, or your own hacienda, skid steers can do a million jobs if you have the right attachment and when you need it. WestTexasAttachments.com can get that attachment to you quickly. They deliver. Renting or buying, West Texas Attachments can get you the attachment you need to get your job done. WestTexasAttachments.com. Go to WestTexasAttachments.com and see what skid steer attachments they have. Heck, you might get inspired for your next project.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at HurleyBenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
He reads the entire state press each day, so you don't have to. It's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We continue with our border news because it'll segue right into our legislative review. I mentioned in the end of the last segment about this thousands opposed asylum travel ban rule reported out of El Paso by Nexstar TV station's Border Report. What this is the left has gotten 12,000 to 14,000 people to submit comments opposing Biden actually putting some, you know, I told you that he's actually announced some policies that would be helpful, and they don't want it. What I thought, it's a long story. I don't care about the details. We've covered that before. They don't want, let me give you the lead. Immigration advocates, these are the people that want illegal immigration, are mobilizing supporters to stop a proposed Biden administration rule disqualifying asylum seekers who cross the border without appointments or fail to apply for protection in countries they traveled through on the way to the U.S. In other words, they don't want any kind of rules at all. They want an open border. What's interesting about this story is the people they quote. Imelda Maynard, Legal Services Director for Diocesan Migrant and Refugee Services in El Paso. That's the Roman Catholic Diocese. They're all into facilitating illegal immigration. Later in the story, El Paso's Roman Catholic Bishop, Mark Seitz, said the new rule places additional burdens in neighboring countries, primarily Mexico, and they shouldn't have to deal with it. Yeah. So it just gives us more evidence that the lefties in the Roman Catholic Church, and many others, by the way, these lefty prelates are behind a lot of this. Now, there was another headline out, Border Patrol chief in that testimony, 1.5 million gotaways during Biden's term. That's the ones we don't catch and even give the little piece of paper to and pretend that we processed them. More than 1.5 million just get into the country. That's a massive number of people. What'd it take, 6 or so to do the World Trade Center? Border farmers say people crossing into U.S. damaging property. Senators propose $25 million fix. We're talking about the state Senate, and we move into our review of legislation. The Austin American-Statesman's Ryan Arturo had a piece about, you know, what we've been talking about, all the cut fences, the damage to property and everything, the legislature and all this border spending. The Senate's moved to put about a $25 million grant fund together, and it was right out by Democrat, I believe, Senate Bill 1133 by Representative Cesar Blanco, Democrat El Paso. He's a state rep. That would be in the House. So maybe somebody laid out a companion bill. Maybe he testified for it. I don't quite get it. It's bad reporting. Money from the fund to be available only if a farmer or rancher's property damage is not covered by insurance. Someone making a claim would have to be required to file a report with law enforcement first. Compensation capped at $100,000. The owner of a hunting ranch in South Texas reported having 33 instances of a busted fence from just 21 to 2022. In the 10 years prior, there were only 5. And the subcommittee heard testimony on another bill that would broaden authority for Border Patrol agents to make arrests for state-level offenses. Currently, Border Patrol agents have been allowed by the state to make an arrest. They're only allowed to make an arrest for federal offenses because they're federal officers. But they've asked us to give them permission to make arrests on state offenses. And Senator Chuy-Hinojosa of McAllen wants to tweak the bill to limit the applicable state offenses federal agents can make arrests for to felonies so that we don't just pile up the local jails with misdemeanors. That's weakening it, but he might be right given what we've seen and our inability to deal with it in those border and near border counties. All right, more from the legislature. I've got multiple stories here. The latest is today from Megan Menchaca at the Austin American-Statesman. Texas House panel sticks funding ban for college DEI programs in draft budget. And we're going to talk about that. I want to back up to a couple of days ago. Florida bill seeks to ban woke diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in higher education. And it's a really good bill in Florida. And what it does, it mandates these university board of governors to review program information in their universities and ensure that curriculum that promotes citizenship in a constitutional republic is in there, make sure that's in there, and things like that, but also to keep this other stuff out. And it's got some really good teeth in it. Those criticizing the bill argue the legislation in Florida would squelch academic freedom and the First Amendment rights of both students and faculty, which is the typical of the left, because freedom for them means the power to override your freedom and force you to agree with their viewpoint or not be able to participate in society. Meaning you can't get a good grade, you can't even enroll, you can't have a faculty job or whatever unless you agree with them. Nobody's talking about that. We're saying the state's not supposed to push it. And I thought that used to be their big thing. The state shouldn't do it. We shouldn't have prayer in school. We shouldn't have any of these other things. The state shouldn't be pressing these things and putting on people. Well, there was another poll out. There have been multiple. CWS Research had a good poll commissioned by Defend Texas Liberty. Showed 72% of Republican voters in Texas disapprove of tax dollars going to universities that use diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. And so you get, that's a lot of polls, including some of the lefty polls, showing that the public is with this. And I think that's why when Representative Tepper brought it up, it got national media attention because so few people, Florida, DeSantis has been fighting it, but you hadn't heard a lot. And all of a sudden, here we go on the cusp of the legislature. Tepper is saying it and it gets picked up everywhere. Now there's tons of people behind it. And it looks like it's so popular we found a way to do it without even having some overly complicated, difficult bill. Although I still have a problem with all this because they'll just change the name of what they're doing and do it in a different way and say they don't have a DEI officer or DEI teaching But this is interesting today because you had the House Committee on Appropriations. And by the way, Carl Tepper's on the Appropriations Committee. Adopted a rider to the draft budget that bans it. The rider, she writes in the Statesman, Menchaca does, an additional provision added to a bill would prohibit state-supported colleges and universities and other higher education institutions that receive state funding from using that money on DEI practices or programs, including any DEI personnel training or activities. Again, I think they'll just relabel these people, call them student advocates or some other kind of thing. Quote, it is the intent of the legislature that no funds appropriated by this act may be expended for diversity, equity, and inclusion practices or similar programs, including personnel training or activities on state-supported college campuses, state-supported university campuses, or those who receive state funding, notwithstanding state and federal law, the rider states. So this is the Appropriations Subcommittee on Article 3 that has to do with higher education funding. It was proposed by Representative Kerry Isaac of Dripping Springs. This is a good way to do it, but we still need the other bills as well to help define this stuff. I like the Democrat response, and of course it makes up the next part of the story with a subhead. It hurts me when we have these divisive riders. Representative Armando Wale of Houston, a big liberal Democrat, made a motion to strike the rider for being included in the House budget, but his motion failed 16-10. It hurts me when we have these divisive riders, amendments, and bills because all it does is sows doubt into my sons and many children with diverse backgrounds. And he goes on and on. Have you noticed that with the left, which includes the media, it's only divisive, or is my preferred pronunciation, divisive. It's only divisive when liberals don't like it. Everything you do that liberals don't like is divisive. If the court rules a certain way, liberals don't like in a severely divided court. But their stuff is never divisive. Even when they're the ones, all this stuff is them trying to actively, revolutionarily reorder society and man's relationship with man and the way God created it. That's never divisive. And we're wrong. We're bigots and everything else to ever even notice what they're doing and point it out. It's just funny. But that's a good way to do it. Tepper's quoted in the story, too. Back in a moment.
Don't like the brakes? Some say the brakes are better than Pratt. But then again, those folks don't listen.
Make your home, office, or workshop comfortable in both hot summer and cold winter with an energy-efficient ductless AC and heating unit from Hart Heating and AC.
The True Texan Studios, uber comfortable with a Hart Heating and AC installed ductless unit, and the energy efficiency as well as ease of installation made it the best upgrade I've made in years.
Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Beat the heat and the cold with a ductless system. Hart. H-A-R-T Heating and AC.com.
License DACLA 1229 OE.
It's the full experience you'll savor from Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse. Not only is Las Brisas a rare Best of Award of Excellence Wine Spectator winner, you'll find a large special collection of cognac, scotch, bourbon, and other whiskeys with many items in the very rare category. And important to me, in the dining room, you're served by professionals, many of whom have been part of the Las Brisas experience for more than a decade. A beautiful lounge, rare wine and spirits, quality food. Las Brisas is my official place to dine.
It's an Abilene Sunday tradition. Mouth-watering fried chicken and chicken fried steak. Fabulous veggies served family style with yeast rolls and unbeatable homemade desserts. All from Pratt's favorite, Bell's Chicken Dinner House at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene. Bell's Chicken Dinner House serves you fantastic fresh food every Thursday through Saturday for lunch and dinner. And on Sunday, it's the perfect traditional after-church lunch. The catfish is fantastic, too. Visit Bell's Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
It is true. Many of us spend more time thinking about what's for dinner than preparing for retirement. But if you think your retirement needs more attention, Mark Miller agrees, and he'd like to help. Mark Miller is with Edward Jones. Together, he'll give your long-term retirement strategy the attention it deserves. Stop by Edward Jones Financial Advisor Mark Miller's office at 3849 Oldham Lane. 3849 Oldham Lane in Abilene. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
From the statehouse to the courthouse, they know Pratt's watching. Here he comes with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. One thing that the left and even other politicians don't like is when we speak truth about things. It makes it harder. And that they really don't like what Carl Tepper said. He's quoted in The Statesman as saying that DEI offices in higher education are blatantly partisan and engaging in reverse racism. And they have to describe that to us because we wouldn't know. Their Austin audience wouldn't know. A term for racism against white people or other privileged groups. See right there, the writer is a leftist because the writer actually buys into the premise from this DEI stuff in CRT that there are privileged groups. Tepper, who has introduced several bills proposing limits on DEI in colleges and universities, said DEI offices are furthering division and causing more consternation than they're fixing. That's right. But Mary Gonzalez, the self-described pansexual from El Paso, Democrat, vice chair of Appropriations Committee, said just having a conversation about banning funds for DEI could lead students, faculty, and staff to consider not coming to colleges and universities in the state. Yes, Mary, Representative Gonzalez, that's right. Good. We don't need more bigots, do we, Mary? Or is that the state of the Democrat Party today, that we want more bigots? Oh, well, she just goes on and on. Oh, and then the journalist herself, not quoting somebody, defining something later in the story, that catch this propagandistic lie about what is DEI from the so-called journalist, Megan Menchaca at The Statesman. She puts this in there not as a quote from somebody else or a paraphrase. This is her writing. Several Texas colleges and universities have various DEI initiatives and programs in place, which are designed to make marginalized groups, such as people of color, LGBTQ people, or disabled people, feel more supported on campus. So that's a propaganda statement. That's not covering the story. She can get somebody to define it. She went and defined it. And that's a lie. That's not what it's about. Small business people. National Federation of Independent Business backing a big bill by Senator Tan Parker in the Senate, Representative Capriglione of Keller in the House, to shield us from the costly swipe fees when you're collecting taxes. Remember, we have 67% of transactions or payments are made now with credit or debit card. And we don't have any power to not have to pay taxes on the actual credit card fees. Now, it sounds like a tiny thing per transaction, but it actually turns into a massive amount of money, more than $500 million a year in the state for just the percentage on those credit card fees applying to the tax portion, tax and fee portion from government stuff. So that's a good bill. Committee hearings blast local government associations. Good. The Mac Mike at the Texan has a good little bit today about banning taxpayer-funded lobbying and all that and how crazy the Texas Municipal League's gone over it and others. And in Texas Association of Counties, it's pretty funny, the quotes and stuff and the responses in this deal. And the bottom of it, it says another instance occurred during the lengthy hearing on this local preemption bill, which TML, Texas Municipal League, testified against when Representative Dustin Burroughs of Lubbock tweeted, quote, listening to TML lie and confuse about House Bill 2127 has never made me want to ban taxpayer-funded lobbying more than today. This is their problem, folks. They have actually begun to, in the last session, to give this real fuel. It shouldn't take three sessions to pass anything. It certainly shouldn't be taking four in the case of taxpayer-funded lobbying. But it usually does take three sessions to get any big things done. These organizations, in their constant outright lying, have worked against their own interest, and I think you're going to see some of this pass. There is a big, I covered a lot of this yesterday on Burroughs' big bill, 2127, that gets rid of the, stops these local government, local jurisdictions from substituting themselves where the state already has regulatory authority carved out in statute, but then they go in there and do things like create their own minimum wage and sick time deal and employee scheduling laws and you name it, trying to be the Railroad Commission and regulate oil and gas drilling and all the other things they've done. I talked about it yesterday, but Brad Johnson later in the day wrote up a piece at the Texan, and it's far more detailed and it's much better. It's called Local Preemption Bill Draws Business, Municipalities, Unions, and House Committee Hearing. And it's Burroughs' Stay in Your Lane bill. And it's very interesting. He's got a lot of good stuff. I don't want to use the whole show to go through it. This will be in the show summary at proudontexas.com, a link to this story at thetexan.news, and I recommend it to you. Legislation seeks to remove short-barreled rifles from list of, quote, prohibited weapons, end quote. Also from the Texan, State Rep. Richard Hayes of Denton and filed House Bill 2705 to remove short-barreled rifles from the prohibited weapons list in Texas law, because right now they have to be registered with the federal government to have them. Gun rights people say these are outdated laws. They've not kept up with modern firearms and design. And by the way, these short-barreled things are some of the best self-defense and business defense weapons there are. So there is there's good reason for that. I hope that actually gets there. Democrats, and of course, the media go nuts. Legislation filed in Texas to allow for recalling U.S. senators. This isn't going to pass. I bet they don't even refer it to committee. But State Rep. Brian Harrison of Midlothian has a great bill. He says, look, the senators have become beholden to D.C. Well, why? Instead of the states. Remember, the Senate was designed to represent the position of the state governments, not the people as a whole, but the people as expressed through their representatives in state government. And he's got it right. Harrison said, since the 17th Amendment, many senators have become beholden to D.C. special interests. This is exactly right. So, and then they go on talking about John Cornyn, and he's left us on a lot of stuff and enabled some gun control stuff. But, you know, short of repealing the 17th Amendment, which is the single biggest repeal that needs to happen to save the republic and move us back into the concept of federalism, short of that, having a fairly well-defined and workable recall method at the state level for senators might be a really good way to make sure they don't get their election over and then know they've got a 6-year term and maybe they're not even going to run again after that when they're older like Cornyn, and they'll just start doing what D.C. wants them to do. It's a good idea. I bet it doesn't go anywhere. Senate approves winter storm gas debt bailout. Well, now all the electric co-ops and everybody else that borrowed from this fund created by taxpayers that we fund, we're paying for, they're all mad because they're not getting treated as well. Well, it's all negotiated. It's in Senate Bill 30, the supplemental budget, and it's got a lot of one-time payments since we have this deal to kind of get things out of the way. And Senator Huffman put paying off the debt for the gas companies that had to pay those exorbitant prices during that giant winter storm to just use the public money to pay it. It's still our money either way, and pay it off early, because she says that debt is going to pay about $1 billion in interest payments if we just keep paying it over its term, and this would save taxpayers $1 billion. I was against these funds. I think they were wrong. They did it. I think they're right. Pay it off. It's funny to listen to other people that borrowed money, especially a bunch of electric co-ops and others. So, well, why are they going to get that? Why not them and not over? Well, I don't know. It's still all the same people. The co-op isn't actually paying it back. Their ratepayers are. You're still saving all, because it's going to all people. I don't know. This interesting how once I get something, the others, but it's early. There's still time for all kinds of deal making. Earlier this week, Senate Bill 2 from Brian Hughes advanced out of committee, and that would restore felony penalty for illegal voting. That was the law, even though the Democrats and media are trying to tell you this is some draconian thing. That was the law until last session when they're in the scramble at the end. Some of the House morons, they pulled it out of there on a late amendment, so we'll put it back in. And that's the way it should be. Thanks for joining us, my friends. A blessed St. Patrick's Day to you. Have a great weekend. Long live liberty. Long live Texas. And may God bless us all and make us a people worthy of his blessings. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Proud on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.